Welcome to another Saturday morning at Hidden Treasures Revealed. Coming to you from the Soothe Not Stress studio.
Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed.
Well, here we are on another Saturday morning. Blessed to be here to speak more truth about God and who they are, what they're about. And the question for today is, it's really a good question, and it would be a question that many people would have. This actual question actually came from my daughter. And again, like I said, this is a question that people would ask, because we have all over the world, all over the internet, all over TV, you have so many different professions of what is right and what is wrong, who is right, who is wrong. And many people will profess that their religion is the one. And so it would make sense that this question would come up. And the question is, how do we know that what we follow is the way of God? Now, the question coming from my daughter, she's on the journey of seeking and knotted circumcision of the heart. And so just looking at this, it's a very good question that I'm pretty sure a lot of people would want to know, because, you know, I had somebody tell me one time, "Well, so you think you corner the market on this? You know, all these people are doing this, but somehow you and your little group, they have, you know, you have what it is." And, you know, I don't engage in that, but yes. And it's not that we corner the market on it, because there is no market for it, unfortunately. And I even did this without, you know, really thinking about that I was doing it. Paul says, talks about peddling the word of God for profit. And so people will name a business after some aspect of scripture, or name it after some aspect of God, or whatever. But why are we doing that? Well, I can tell you, when I had my construction company, Alpha Omega Construction, well, I did it to draw a connection to God so that, you know, people would recognize it. And then, you know, that's where I'd get help and, or I'd get jobs and that type of thing. And a lot of times it's subconscious. It's not even a conscious thing that you do. But, and I'm not saying that as a believer that you can't have your own business. But no need to name it after God. If you take care of God with your business, God will take care of you. You don't have to name it, and just a name doesn't do anything. And many people are using the name of God, peddling for profit. And even in churches, there's a peddling of the word of God for profit, because we got to, you know, some places it's about, well, you got to sow the seed, and the whole aspect of tithing, so it'll come back to you. And if you sow a seed because it's going to come back to you, whether it comes back to you or not, it's not from God. It's not a blessing, because you do it because God said, you know, I take these tithes and offerings. Don't rob me of them, but do it because you want to do it without any expectation of a return, and then you'll be blessed, whether you get money back or not. We don't want to try to, I guess, I think it's called the prosperity gospel. That's not what the gospel of God is about. I mean, let me rephrase that. The gospel of God is about prosperity, but not financial prosperity, not multiple house prosperity, multiple car prosperity. That's not what it's about. It's a prosperity of having faith in the one true God and having ownership in the kingdom of God. If we go whatever we have here, then let God deal with what you get and what you don't get. And honestly, I don't want a whole lot, because I could probably be tainted by that. And so when I ask God about things, I just ask them, you know, give me my lot and portion. Give me, please, what I need, and give me what I can handle. Don't give me more than what I can handle. And that is included in spiritual faith perspective as well, because if I ask that way, then I could be overwhelmed by mother with just information after information after information, and not having time to process and evaluate and go through it. It's still good information, but it would overwhelm. And so what I want, God knows me. We have conversation, and I know them, and so I ask them, give me what I'm able to handle, because I don't want to get to a point of pride where the flesh takes over, and then I set God aside. I always, my mind set in full dependency on God. And that's dependency on God is a key factor, because there's scripture in the Bible that's misinterpreted. And it's written as, those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay. Well, that calling on the name of the Lord is not a, you call, oh God, I need your help, save me. No, the true translation of that should have been dependency. That those who depend on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, many will say, well, I'm dependent on Jesus. I'm dependent on Jesus. Well, that's not the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is Yeshua Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. And so there's no dependency on God when it comes to the Jesus that is taught in this world. And so I'm going to set that aside and just kind of look at this from a perspective of my journey And I would say, and Sean, you can speak to this. I would say that one of the biggest clues is the removal of doubt. When it comes to faith in God, and, well, how do you know what you're following is true? Because I know it. There's a difference between thinking you know something, believing you know something, or truly knowing it, and knowing it to the point that you know that it will never change, meaning that, no, I know this is the way. Unfortunately, there have been many people that have been deceived into thinking that they know the way. But if you listen to the words, and if they're honest, if they're brutally honest with themselves, they travel around with this idea that, well, I'm saved, or I'm safe, I'm good, I'm got the religion of God. But eventually, there's that doubt. And one of the biggest keys is fear. That I no longer have to fear anything because I feared God. And once God became my friend in a relationship, then there's nothing. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? And again, this is just one of the things, but for me, I had never ever had such a confidence in the faith that I have than what I have. And the beautiful part of the faith that we have is it's living and it's growing, it's increasing. You know, why? Because the Word of God, not the Bible, but the Word of God is active. It's moving. It's expanding. Because in our human condition, we're not able to understand the fullness of absolutely everything that is God. We won't be able to really get that until we enter into the kingdom. And then when we get there, we don't know exactly what that's going to be like, but we will have shed this mortal body and we will move into the kingdom. And so with this question, it's the security, because I remember in my journeys in life of all the fear that I had. I also remember in the aspect of accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, where you always hit those moments in the dark places where I keep doing these things and I know I'm not supposed to. Am I really saved? Because I'm expecting that this Jesus is going to take everything away and it's still there. And I don't understand why, but I have a knowledge, a knowing of the absolute truth of God when it pertains to my salvation. And once you know something that's absolute, you can't unknow it. You can't be shaken. You can't be moved from that ground, because you are secure in that solid foundation that let the wind and waves come. Let the ground shake beneath my feet. I won't be moved. Yeah. Will the house shake? Yes. Will I feel it? Yes. But I will not be moved, because there is no aspect out there like this as what we're talking about and the truth we're revealing. And it's just a beautiful thing. So, I mean, there's many things I could go on different things, but I'm going to turn it over to you, Sean, and let you speak a little bit on your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Good morning, everybody. Here's what I was thinking about, just thinking about this question of how do you know something? And because I know in my journey in the past, like you would have feelings while I feel this or, you know, experience. And we had talked about before that the Bible is for the unbeliever and we still use the Bible, but the Word of God is our dependency because, as you said, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And even thinking about Proverbs as we came on, that it gives a process so that you can find the knowledge of God. And notice it says the knowledge, meaning that you know. And because what we're talking about with the aspects of the gospel message is that we've experienced that and we have what's referred to as heart knowledge. And we mentioned this before that you have what's referred to as head knowledge, which is information that you process, but heart knowledge is experience. Like I can say that I have a car outside and I know it's a car, but the heart knowledge is I've driven the car. I know what it feels like to drive a car. I've worked on a car, that kind of thing. And that's the thing about knowing the truth that we know is we've experienced it. We've experienced what it is to repent, to walk in repentance. We've experienced what it is to obey God, to trust in them, to trust in Abba the Father, to trust in Yeshua the Son, trust in Mother the Spirit. And we've had experiences that we can look at the Bible that has the Word of God in it. It's not the end all, but I can look at the Bible and say, that right there is what we're doing. This right here is we're walking as Messiah did. This right here lines up. So the Bible, the Word of God, what we're doing lines up with it. Like you look at the book of Acts, that we're experiencing what the book of Acts is talking about, persecution, people being removed from the gathering, different things. And what I'm seeing is that you can look at other people and what everybody else is doing, and everybody is pointing the finger at everybody else. But we don't have just a feeling of, wow, I feel that God is. No, we know because we've had experiences where I've had Yeshua himself speaks to me, give it to me. Having a struggle, give it to me. Abba speaking to me. Mother speaking to me. Do this. We want you to go over here. We want you to living and active. And it's not just a, well, that was back in, I've heard this before. Have you heard this? Well, back in Bible times, this is what happened. Well, no, back in lifetimes that the things of God are happening. And can you look at the Word of God? Can you look and say, well, here are the gifts of the Spirit. Have I experienced these? Have I spoken in tongues? Have I prophesied? Have I had faith? Have I had, you know, different things? And, you know, am I experiencing what Messiah said I would experience? You know, so making sure that our what you're doing, if it is true, it will line up with the Word of God. It will not go contrary to the Word of God. And that scripture that you mentioned, those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, that information, revelation on that was given by Mother on, do you see, it means dependency. It doesn't mean calling because, oh, well, I called you on the phone. Well, yeah, I can call you on the phone, but if you don't answer, then what's the benefit? And something that came to mind as well with this is if you think that everybody else is wrong and you're right, and you just shut yourself off to that, then that's going to be a problem because something that came to mind was, and the word is the Tower of Babel. Well, the Tower of Babel, when they were building that tower, it says that Yah themselves came down to look at the tower. And they said that they looked at the people and said, if this people are in one mind, there's nothing that will be able to stop them. If they're unified, then there's nothing that they're not going to be able to do. And when Yah saw that, they scattered them away. And it just makes me think of, you have the one source, and then they confuse the languages and sent that out. And you think of all the different religions that are there. You have Christianity, you have Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, different things like that. And if you really look at the world religions, each one of these religions will have part of the truth of God in it. That you can have one that's really zealous for God, but they don't have the friend aspect, or one that's, you know, Yah is all friend and no terror. But if you take bits and pieces, it all goes back to the original source that we shouldn't be looking at and pointing the finger. Now, we can point the finger and say, hey, based on what they're doing, that doesn't line up. But do they have anything that does line up with Yah? And if you really look, you can find something that will be part of it. Because if I remember right, I think the Muslim faith believes that Moses was a prophet, which he was. But then do they believe in the Son of God? Not necessarily. So it's looking at it and piecing it together. But to really know what you're doing is right, is even goes, or what we have is the actual right thing, is you have to go back to the most recent podcast that Mother brought out, that it's about dependency on the Word of God, not on the Bible, because by having conversation with them and by them showing us these truths and us experiencing it, we gain information. And now we know Mother is a female, because when she speaks to me, it's a female voice. It's not a male voice. And when Yeshua speaks to me, it's not a female voice. And when Abba speaks, it's not a female voice. So it's really, as the basis of what we're doing is seek God with all your heart. You will find God when you seek with all your heart. And that means putting everything else to the side, put your pastor to the side, put your family to the side. And when I say put them to the side, it doesn't mean you just, I'm leaving you, I'm never talking to you again. It just means, just like something, what's important now is just, I'm just going to put them aside. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on Yah and seeking with all my heart and putting that aside and putting my programming to the side of what I think this means, what this could mean, and just go for it and just do what the Word of God says. And you will be found by Yah when you seek with all your heart. So ultimately with this is getting experience of having experiences of the things of God that are mentioned in the Bible, that Yah will come to you. And when they come to you face to face, just like they came to Moses and to Samuel, to Yeshua, that, you know, how do I know, Phil, that you're here? Because I've had conversation and I know you're sitting here. Well, I think you're here. Well, I know you're here because there's proof of it. There's proof you're sitting in the chair, you're looking at me, you have a microphone, that it's there's tangible evidence. And that's the thing, is without faith in God, you cannot have that evidence. Yah will not give you the evidence first. You have to seek after it to be given that evidence.
Well, you speak to the aspect of a true relationship. I mean... It's beautiful, because the way things operate in the world, God set them in place for a reason, and it's to show you things. It's to show you what you need to do from a spiritual perspective in order to really understand. Because how many people that live on the earth are truly going to profess a relationship with another human being when all that other human being does is talk to them lecture style, and then when they're done, turn and walk away or hang up the phone or move, and there's no conversation back and forth, there's no relationship? Because part of the aspect of relationship is to relate to somebody. And how can you relate to somebody if you're just talking to them and then nothing back? There is no relationship. It's just you being able to get out what it is that you want to do or you want to say, and then you go on. And unfortunately, that's a programming that people have had in this world, is that God doesn't speak to people. You know, somewhere along the way, somebody decided that God didn't speak to people. We see it in the Old Testament, whether they spoke to somebody directly, like Moses through the burning bush, or they spoke to Lot do the angels that came to visit him in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so and those angels didn't just come and sit there and talk, and then, okay, done, turn away. No, they had conversation. They spent time together. They worked within a relationship, because for you to have relationship, the ship part is the continued being in that, relating to somebody else. And if you can't even just have regular back and forth conversation and call it a relationship, and people do, because we like to distort what true meanings of words are. But if it's a relationship, then while we're talking, I'm trying to figure out how this correlates to you and how we parallel on understandings and things that happen, because, oh, wow, I've done that very same thing. You know, you can listen to somebody, and if you're listening, not hearing, but you're listening, you can do that. You can say, wow, in your mind, while they're talking, like, wow, I've done that. And then that just feeds the conversation, so that when they're done, then you could say, yeah, when you said this, I've done that because of whatever the situation is. And that's what we call a relationship. But unfortunately, in the world today, too many people consider a relationship just to be an acquaintance that, you know, I talk to on occasion or I talk to now and again. But truly, for it to be a relationship, you have to relate. And you can relate to God, and we must relate to God. The Bible says those who claim to be in him must walk as he did. How can I walk as he did if I can't relate to him? You know, he came to be like his brothers in every way, brothers and sisters. He came to be like us in flesh in every way. Why? So he could relate to us, because he felt the pain that we feel physically, spiritually, emotionally. He went through this life. He knows the struggle of the enemy coming after him. He knows every aspect that we know. So we have to relate to him, because he related to us. And if you have true faith in God, then you will walk as he did, which means you will find a place where there is no sin. Not that you've never sinned, but that you find that place where there is no sin. And this aspect of relationship is another big area that's a key and a clue for me, is that I have verbal conversations with God as a whole, where I'm talking to multiples at the same time, or individual, Abba, Ema, Mother, or Yahusha, Yeshua, Messiah. And I hear their voices, and I can distinguish their voices, and we talk back and forth, so we have a relationship. Where, and this isn't something that came easy, because there's a journey of travel that you have to do. To one, you have to decide that God does exist and they do speak to their people. I want to be their people, so I'm going to figure out how to hear their voice. And then even when they're not talking back, or you don't think they're talking back because you can't hear them because you're not tuned in enough yet, they're talking back, but they're waiting to see, are you going to be faithful in what you said? That, no, I believe they exist, and I can see in the Bible that they talk to their people. Why would they not talk to me if I'm seeking them with all of my heart and I want to have that relationship with them? But you know what? Even if they never talk to me, I'm still going to talk, and I'm going to wait for answers, and I'm going to let them speak to me. Because hearing God's voice is hearing God's voice. It's not a feeling. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when you don't hear the voice of God, where they prompt you sometimes through a feeling. It can be, you know, an emotion of being down, and they prompt you to push in their direction or whatever it is. But that is only a temporary part of knowing them. They'll give you that first, and then they'll start talking to you. But when they start talking to you, then you go through the aspect in your mind, well, is that me? Did I? And I know this because this is my own personal journey within it. But I knew by reading what it says in the Bible that God speaks to their people. Even sometimes they speak to people who aren't their people. And so God speaks to their people, and they speak in a way that of having a conversation, a back and forth relationship. And that's another aspect, because though you might have somebody that or people that will profess that God talks to them, but if you listen to them, they'll say, God put it on my heart to do this. And if you're just acting on feelings and emotions to determine whether it's God talking to you or not, well, you're already deceived, because we know from the Word of God that the enemy can appear to you. The demons can appear as an angel of light, and they can do the same thing, give you a feeling about something. Well, how do you know for sure if you can't verify Abraham speaking directly to God for verification on something? You know, God, I know you're going to destroy the cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, but will you do it if there's 50 righteous people? And then, and we've talked about this before, and it goes all the way down to one, and God says, even for one, I won't destroy the city. And what did he do? He did not destroy the city. And he didn't destroy the city while the one righteous one was there, which was Lot, the one who was tortured in his righteous soul from the wicked deeds that were going on. So he took Lot out with his family and then destroyed the city. So God not only talked to Abraham, but God kept their word with Abraham as well. And so it's just really important, just another aspect, that we have a conversational relationship with God where we can talk and we can hear their voice. And again, it's a growing process. It's something that you have to work on to build, to be able to hear their voices more and more. And sometimes we've had this with some in the gathering where they'll say, I just don't hear the voice. I've had my Victoria do that, my daughter. She'll say, I'm not sure if I hear God. And then not 2 minutes later, a profound piece of prophecy from Yah comes out of her mouth. And it's like, you're not recognizing that you're hearing their voice, which she's not recognizing it. If she continues to seek God with all of her heart, she will get to that point, and anybody else will. You know, I had times where God spoke to me before I had circumcision of the heart. It's not an aspect that you have to have circumcision of the heart for God to speak to you. The objective is you follow the path of the true gospel, and God will talk to you. If you're seeking God with all of your heart, that's the number one promise from God, the most important promise from God. And one might say, well, what about the promise of sending his son? Well, without this promise, then the other doesn't work for you. And when he he gave a promise that you will find God when you seek with all of your heart. That's what the scripture says. Seek for me and you will find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. And that all of your heart goes back to what you were saying about, you know, leaving your pastor to the side, or your husband to the side, or your wife to the side, or your kids to the side. And again, this is not, we're not advocating a neglect of those people. What we're advocating is that you set in your mind, with seeking with God with all of your heart, that God is the priority. God takes the priority over anybody else. Now, you should look to after God, after God, then who takes the priority next? Well, it should be your wife, then your kids, then your house, then your job. There's a line of things, but unfortunately in this world, they get all twisted around, and it's just really important with the aspect of relationship with God to get to where you know their voice. And, you know, for me, and I've shared this before, the very first time I heard the voice of Mother was the moment that Mother told me, you and Sean are going to start a church. And that voice was a verbal voice in my right ear. So not only did I hear the verbal voice of Mother, and this was pre-circumcision of the heart, not only did I hear the verbal voice of Mother, but I, at that moment, it was like, that was the Spirit. That was a female voice. Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. The female, the Spirit is female. That's the Mother of Messiah. That's the piece that's been missing. And it's just a huge, was a huge revelation for me. And for me, at that moment, I never questioned whether the Spirit was female again after that, because she is. That's and it's even written. And then, you know, after that fact, you know, you read through Proverbs and you see where it talks about wisdom. She stands on the street corner crying aloud. And so multiple times the Spirit's referred to as the female aspect. And that's another little piece of the puzzle that helps us to understand that this is the true God. Well, the Bible said we were made in their image. Well, in the image of God, they made them, male and female. So Abba and Ema, the Spirit and the Father, have to be male and female in order to produce a son. And remember, the Messiah was conceived in the Holy Spirit and then placed in Mary. If the Spirit is a male aspect, it's an impossibility for any conception to take place. It goes against the nature of things. And therefore, there has to be that female aspect. And just these, you know, these are some things of just, for me, they're just big things that we have a relationship, hear their voices, know their existence. And one more thing I'm going to touch on, then I'll turn it back over to you, is Messiah said, what comes out of the mouth is the overflow of the heart. So if you listen and you pay attention to what people are saying, they tell on themselves. You know, I mean, people who live in hypocrisy, they tell on themselves. they'll say something about somebody else. And if you watch them and you study them, I almost within 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you can see them do the exact same thing that they just despised in somebody else. And we don't, you know, because we want to make sure that we're pointing the finger back at ourselves so that we remove the hypocrisy. You know, how many religions out there are based in, you see something in somebody else, you point the finger back at yourself, and you make sure you're doing it right. You get that log out of your eye so you can clearly see the speck. And what's interesting is the speck in your brother's eye could be a giant tree, but if it's a speck to the log in your eye, that means you have it more than they do, and you cannot help them until you can help yourself. That's a fact of it. You know, you have psychologists and psychiatrists who are doling out medications and are trying to help people who are depressed. And they themselves are on depression medication and dealing with depression. How can you help somebody that's depressed? If you haven't figured out how to fix it yourself and then give them the solution and the avenue into how to fix it.
I never thought of this until you mentioned it. When we look at other people, has anybody ever thought about this? When you look at somebody else, that, like, as I'm looking at you, that you're a mirror. Because think about it. I look at you, and what do I see? I see a speck. So that just shows me that that's the log that's in my eye. Because I'm just like you're wearing glasses and I'm looking at your left eye. I see the pupil. Well, what is that? The tree is going to be so big, it's going to encompass everything. So what am I seeing as a reflection? Oh, that's your issue. No, wait a minute. It's just reflecting back to me what's in my eye. So you, because that's the thing Messiah said, but you don't realize the log that's in your eye, which putting it to a log that it's so much bigger, your issues are, the issues that I have are bigger than what I'm seeing in you. All it's doing is the mirror is showing you, like I had this last night, that I got behind somebody and, why don't you just get up the road? And it's like, why don't you just get up the road? You know, it's like, but you don't stop and think, well, all right, so what do I need to get going down the road for? What, you know, but you don't, well, it's your problem, or you're, and the person's just driving along, nothing, who knows what they're doing? They're just driving.
And how many times somebody's behind you and you're just not paying attention, or you're just taking it easy?
I had the word of God go through my mind. Messiah said when he was talking to Abba and to Mother, that the way that it's written in the Bible, but just, he was speaking to his mother and father, but it says Father, and he says, Father, I'm grateful that you always hear me. And it made me think of, okay, well, we're supposed to be walking as he did, so what's the place where Yah will always hear you? Well, circumcision of the heart, which the mindset would be that I'm doing everything because I want to do what is right. I'm walking in truth. So Yah will hear me, because when I come to them, I'm their child. And why would they not hear me? And what he's saying is that he knows, because he didn't say, Father, I'm grateful that I'm thinking that you hear me. No, Father, I'm grateful that you always hear me. And why? Because I know my Father. He knows me. We're one. We're in agreement. So what I ask him, what I talk about, I know is lined up with his will. So I know he hears me, because I walk in his will. I obey his commands. So Messiah has given us an example that you want to be at a place where, because I remember years ago I heard, and like you before, we're not going to mention names because it's not pointing the finger at people, but just the concept that there was a book called Answered Prayer Guaranteed. And I know what the premise of it is that there's a way in the Bible to show that you can know your prayers are heard. You know, if you pray according to his will, he hears.
But you want to know that your prayers are answered, guaranteed. Find the place to have circumcision of the heart. And because what you asked of Yah is with their will, and they do hear, they do listen, and they answer. And sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes is hold off. But all of this is experienced. And speaking to people that are listening, that are really seeking this out, have you had experiences with God? Have you gotten frustrated because you read the Bible and I don't understand, why am I not hearing the voice of God? Why am I not experiencing speaking in tongues? It says I'm supposed to have it. Why? I don't get it. And it came to mind, just going back to the foundation of what we're doing. The Word of God doesn't say seek the Bible. Seek what other people think. Seek what the pastor says. Seek, it says, seek for me. Which, in proof of Mother Within, and this is so awesome, I was sitting there thinking, what's about priority? And then second later, out of your mouth, what's about priority? Because it's the one and same spirit, that putting everything to the side means prioritize. Your priority is God. So meaning prioritize to where, okay, I'm going to put this over here in its proper place, but the priority is right here, and going after that. And then Yah will say, okay, so now I'll show you how to deal with all these other things that will fall into place in the way it's supposed to. But seek for me and you will find me. Now, this isn't a one-time linear thing. That yes, you do find Yah, and we found Yah, but the Word of God is living and active. So when you seek for me, you will find me, continually find me. So you'll find Yah in your everyday. You'll find Yah in things that you learn from them, that you'll continue to find them in all kinds of things. And that's how the learning and growing expands. But if anybody out there that you want to experience the things of Yah, that when you seek for them with all your heart, they will draw near to you. And it's by Mother's decision, but you can have the gifts of the Spirit. You can get all of them. You can get some of them. But it's just like with anything, you ask for it and you seek a knock, that you'll have it. Because we're just talking about speaking in tongues, that you and I have experienced that. And it wasn't that we did something that we earned it or anything. It was just, wow, how about this? And wow, this is real. And we can say we have experience in it, so that we know that speaking in tongues is real. And that's because we've had heart knowledge. We've gained experience. We've had Yah come to us and speak to us themselves, which was a way for us to build our faith in them. And then, because I remember here, Cindy, a while back recently said, well, you know, it'd be neat to have those experiences we had before when Yah would come and speak to us. And I remember in my mind, I was like, wow. So Yah was doing that, just like with Messiah, that do you see that we're real, that we're who we are? Well, that was for a time, but do you realize where we're speaking to you right in this moment, in the room with you, just like before, that it's the same? Well, it's different experience, but that you've experienced it. So see where we're speaking, where you're just perceiving that those experiences that you've had, those were the ones where Yah was really speaking. But no, they speak in things that you say that come out of your mouth, things, concepts that we're having, songs that come out. And it was for a time. And those that are, you know, will be called by Yah to start home gatherings, that be looking, because Yah will speak to you the way that they spoke to us. Because it wasn't, did God really speak to, did somebody just really say, start a church? Was that real? I mean, I know for sure it was real, because I'd never heard a voice like that ever with just a, I know this is God. I mean, there's no, I can't even remember where I was turning in the car, where I was driving, everything. And because Yah has a way to make things absolutely clear. And they do that through their own coming to you. They come to you through angels. Angels will speak. We've had angels speak to us. So it's, it is there. But if you're going with the same programming that you've had as a kid, and you don't put, and that's the thing, because Phil, we talked about this, if you're in Christianity, and that just happens to come to mind, but whatever religion you're in, you have to be willing to put all that aside. You have to be willing to say, forget everything that I've been taught and just put it aside, and just, I'm just going to go after this. And then as things come to mind, I'll sift through is what I as what I've been taught true? Is it not? And you've got to be willing to be wrong in order to be right. You can't just, well, just one day it'll just come to me and I'll just figure it out. No, because we had the same thing. And it's just interesting how as well that the Old Testament, Yah is speaking so much through the Old Testament, but people will ignore that. Well, see, Jesus speaks. Well, yeah, the Son, it was foretold that in latter days that the Son would speak for God. But the Father and Mother are speaking in the Old Testament very clear to show you, my Son is coming. So why would you not want to speak with them and know who they are? Because they're telling you to speak, to listen to their Son when he comes. And the Son would say, listen to the words of my Father and Mother. Anyway, so it's a continual thing and continual practice. But really the key to knowing anything is experience. And the way to do that, you know, very simply, even though it takes work and effort, is to seek God with all your heart and figure out what that is.
Yeah, and this also entails an expansion of your mind, because your programming tells you that God doesn't talk to people like they used to, and God doesn't make an appearance. They just do it by a feeling. And you have to broaden your mind to recognize that there's a whole lot more to God than any of us can ever fathom. And when you know God exists, take that, for those that are seeking God with all of your heart, take that and plead with them. Ask them for things. How bad do you want to experience one of the gifts of the Spirit or multiple gifts of the Spirit? Are you crying out for them? Are you calling aloud? Are you searching for them as for searching for hidden treasure? And we want you to verify what we say. You know, as we do these podcasts, every single one of them that we've done, we do not and will not profess that you have to listen to what we say because this is the absolute truth. You listen to us. No, it's not about us at all. We're just messengers passing on the truth that Mother wants us to pass on. And it's up to others if they want it. It's not our message. Here's the thing with expanding your mind. And we just had a little bit of an experience with this Wednesday night with the last gathering we had. And you have to consider somebody else's thoughts, somebody else's aspects of truth. And let's clarify, truth is absolute. It's unchanging, meaning once it's truth, that truth will never change, but that doesn't mean it can't be added to. You know, it's like we know in this world, 1 + 1 will always be 2. No matter how many different ways, it will always be 2, unless somebody decides to be foolish and, no, 1 + 1 = 6, and we're going to profess that to everybody, and no. You're circumventing the reality of it, so leave it alone. But what I'm getting at is, how many church gatherings, how many religious groups are actually looking into the other religious groups to find the truth of God? It's hardly unheard of because, well, we're Christian, and that's the right way, so we don't pay attention to the Muslim or the Hindu because they're wrong, and they don't know what they're doing. And, well, friend, they've got truth just like you have truth. It's bits and pieces, and going back to what you talked about, before the Tower of Babel and before God confused the languages, they were under one God. Once God confused the languages and divided them, well, each culture has their own understanding that trickled down, kind of the like we talked about, the whisper down the alley, that each one has their own concept. And each one has some aspects of the truth of God that are good and beneficial and necessary for the faith journey. Now, don't misunderstand what we're saying. We are not saying that this is an all-inclusive God that will include every single religion because they have a little bit of the truth. No. No. We profess one religion for the salvation of men, and that is the way of Messiah. You walk in his way, you live in his way, you do everything that he did, you will be in the kingdom. And everything he did entailed all the truth, and it's all the truth from all different areas. You're not going to just find truth in one place. And we've talked a little bit about this before. Well, look to the Muslim religion and the zeal that they have for God. Where do you see that in Christianity? Oh, yeah, we're going to put it in your face and we're going to... No, that's not it. I mean, they have a zeal for God that they're willing to kill people for the sake of God. Religious war, jihad. Now, we know that Christ made a transformation that we're not called to a physical war, but we're called from a physical war to a spiritual war. And if there's spiritual warfare, you better put the armor of God on because you're going to be destroyed. And too many people think that because they read it, well, yeah, I accepted Jesus and I have the armor of God and so nothing can touch me. And the whole time they're getting beat up and destroyed and because you don't have the armor of God on. You have a profession that you have it, but you don't have it. Every religion out there has some aspect that is truth. And what Messiah's work was pulling truth from everywhere. That the zeal, you know, zeal is good, provided it's for the right cause. Well, what about the idea of compassion that the Hindus have? Well, that's a part of it too. And you can go around to each one, even the philosophies. And having Mother in your heart guiding you, you're able to see truths that come out of every single culture, but none of them have enough for salvation because it has to be a culmination of them. And that culmination is not us, but it's Messiah who brings them all together. And when you have faith in Messiah, then you have the ability to start seeing other things. Because, you know, how many times in the gatherings like we just did on Wednesday night are people talking about mythologies and correlating them to God? And a myth is a story. And so it's even faith in God is a myth, but it's a matter of whether the story is true or the story is false. And we looked into five different mythologies, and even within those mythologies, they profess female deities, where, like we have, we'll say with Christianity, and I don't know that I've ever heard the Muslims accept a female aspect of God, because the female's inferior in that aspect to them. But all those myths are trickled down stories that are told from generation to generation. And the only way you can know which is true is by having the guidance of Mother within your heart in order to figure out what the truth is. That's the reality, because we go through the mythologies and you can see there's one who is considered the chief deity, and then he has a wife or wives, and then the wife has a son, and the son, you know, has attributes that parallel Messiah's work. And there are over 100 mythologies, which in essence are just religions that have formed over the whisper down the alley from generations past. And so Messiah brings us to the point where we are able to we are able to go and look into these other things. It's interesting. I'm just going to bring this up for people who listen in or will listen in. There was somebody that was on, and it looks like maybe she went off after asking this question, and I'm not sure why you would go off. But anyway, I mean, hopefully she's still on. It doesn't look like she is, but just for the sake of others that, you know, did you say mother? Well, absolutely, we said mother. See, this is so interesting how people have an issue with there being some sort of female aspect of God, but yet God can have a son if by two men. We're made in the image of God. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. They created us, male and female, in their image. So our likeness is their likeness. There has to be a female aspect of God if there's a son. But Christianity will just write that off because, well, it's he. Yeah, because when the scriptures were translated into the Greek and then into the King James, the Greek doesn't have a gender specific avenue, so it's always derived back to the he, when it's referring to others, and people don't know that. And this is why the programming is so important to understand, that you've been programmed to think you know what you're talking about. But yes, absolutely we say mother because it's a part of God. And why would every other, or not every, but a lot of the mythologies that I've looked into speak of male and female deities with having offspring? Now, when you look at the mythologies, if you look at a mythology and it says one of the gods was killed, then there's a different understanding, because if you understand God and the true aspect of who God is, you must understand that they are not able to be killed. You know, this is not like a game where you have these heroes that they run out of power and then they've got to recharge. No. For God to be God, that means they are of an indestructible life, that they cannot be destroyed. But the fact that, you know, this is the shame, because the spirit being female, mother, is something that we would think that women would be rejoicing over, that, wow, I do actually have aspect of God that I can relate to. Wow, that would be huge, I would think, for many women, because for many years it's been an aspect that God has all been male. God is male. It's he. The Father, he. The Spirit, he. The Son, he. And just the nature of things, again, like we talk about, the nature of things, you cannot. It is an impossibility for a man and a man to have a child. Going through the natural process of conception and childbirth, two men cannot have a baby, neither nor can two women have a baby. That's factual. Now, we're not talking adoption and that type of stuff. People do that. But we're talking having a child. You have to have a male and a female part. And why it is so outrageous to people that the Spirit of God is female, and even in the Bible that they would profess is the infallible Word of God, in the Old Testament refers to wisdom as a she. Well, who is wisdom as a she if not the mother of Messiah? And it's just interesting because that was, I just saw that come across there. And, whether she's on and she heard that answer to that, if she didn't stay on to hear the answer, then that's a shame. But this is the kind of thing that will throw people off. But again, what we're here for? We're here for the sick people. We're here for the people that recognize and know that what they're following is not right and is not true. And they know that there is a faith in God that is right and true. And I'm going to find out where that faith is, and I'm going to have it.
Very interesting. Because if you ask somebody, explain God to me. Well, I think that it's this or it's that, or like we said this before, it's a pie that's divided into parts. It's an egg, it's the shell, it's the yolk, it's different stuff like that. And what's interesting with it is if you look at it and think about it, if you want to know, because we're talking about how do you know you have what you have, how do you know who Yah is, then like we said, that seeking them with all your heart, that you'll find them and that you'll be able to experience it. Because we could sit here and say, Mother, the Spirit is female. Abba, the Son is male. Abba, the Father is male. Yeshua, the Son is male. And people can believe it or not believe it. It's us saying it is not going to convince you that Mother is female. What's going to convince you is when you seek with all your heart and you find out when she speaks to you that she is female, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that she is. Well, that's where the revelation comes. And like we said, that we're saying these things. If anybody listening doesn't want to believe it or agree with it, then that's your free will choice to do that. Like you said, Phil, we're here for the sick. If somebody wants to refute it, then, the mother will make it clear you seek with all your heart, but it's just, we know it because we know mother and she knows us. So it is a shame, because if you think about it, like even when you're a kid and if you're a boy or a girl that, you look up to your mom or look up to your dad because you can relate. And it's just a way for men and women to relate to God. But then what will happen is the enemy will take the truth of God and twist it. And, because we all hear voices, it's just, what voices are you listening to? Are you listening to your programming, not knowing what you're doing? Are you listening to Yah? You listen to the enemy and things like that. But yeah, the truth of God is not going to change, and mother being female is not going to change. And, there'll be people that'll disagree with it, but that'll happen. But if you really want to know the answer, then you must do as everybody does. You must have faith in God to understand these things, and seeking with all your heart takes faith. So yeah, it'll just be, it's one of those things wherein people will come with different things like that. And it's okay. Cause we have people listening in, and just the hope is that people will listen to this, evaluate it, see God with all their heart, and they'll discover, the same things and even more that we're discovering.
Right. And just as you were talking, it just came to mind the aspect that we talked about earlier, of relationship with God. How can you have a relationship with God if you truly don't know who they are? You have to know who they are to have a relationship with them. You don't have relationships with people and say, well, yeah, I have a relationship with Sean, but, oh, well, who's Sean? Well, he's this guy. It makes no sense. No. Sean, he's a friend of mine. We talk, we have conversations. I can tell you where he lives. I can tell you aspects about his life. I can tell you that his favorite food and candy changes from time to time, depending on how much of it he's had.
All the time.
But it's just really important from the relationship perspective. There's many people that claim they have a relationship with God, but yet profess that they do not hear the actual voices of Abba, Ima, and Yeshua. And so what kind of relationship do you have? It's not. It's an acquaintance at best.
And actually, I had, just to interject that, I had this thought, a companion. Like, you have a home companion. They could just sit with you, watch TV with you or something, and you don't really do anything. You don't ask them questions, or you kind of have chit chat, but you don't really, well, where did you come from? What's your life been? And they don't share that. You just, because I had a scripture go through my mind that talking about Yeshua, that in Hebrews it says that he was anointed with the oil of gladness more than his companions. Well, there's a lot of people that were his companions, but how many people were really friends with him or really knew him? Because there were a lot of people that were around him, but it's not about you just being around Messiah. It's not, you could walk beside him, but walking as he did means you're following his example. And that's the key, is you can acknowledge that the Son of God existed and that he lived and died, but you must, the word doesn't say, you know, you must acknowledge that Yeshua is the Son of God. Well, the Son of God is who he is, no matter if you acknowledge him or not. It's the following him. And follow means that you do what I do, not just you just walk behind me, but if you walk as I did, then you will do the things that I'm doing. And it is a must, but the must is a willingness. I really want to walk as he did, because really our heart should be, here I am. I've come to do your will, O God. That's the heart of Messiah. Whatever you want, it doesn't matter. I'm doing it because I want to.
And that's why we would do whatever the Bible tells us to do until it's clarified by Yah what the spiritual aspect of it is, so that we can do that.
But are people, this just came to mind, are people will profess that they live by the Bible? Then why aren't you going out and killing people that aren't godly? Well, no, you're not supposed to do that. Well, but if you live by what the Bible says, then he told his people, go in and kill these people. Why don't you do it? Well, because of Jesus, we're not under that anymore. But if Yah tells you to do something, then you do it. Now, is Yah going to come to you and tell you to physically kill people? I would say no. It would be, if you're going to kill anybody, it would be, you know, to... through giving your own life, your sacrifice to them, which would be really killing yourself, but it would be to put those people aside, that, you know, be willing to leave father and mother, really put them to death, put them to the side until they're actually true family. Then they're alive again, but because their people are already dead anyway, spiritually. So it's really, it just came to mind the aspect of, if you profess that you live by the Bible, then that means you have to live by the letter of it, which means you're not capable of that. So be careful with that.
Right. But also remember that the sword of the Spirit will bring either death or life. And when we speak the truth of God and somebody completely rejects it, are we not putting them to death with the Spirit? Now, we are not responsible for that, because our intention is not for somebody to die because of their rejection of it. But their acceptance of it will bring life, and life everlasting. It's just important things that we look at. The other thing is, listen to people when they talk. You know, again, I didn't finish the thought on when the overflow of their heart comes out of the mouth. You will hear people say, I think that God this, or I think that God that, or I believe... Well, we believe that God this and God that. And the reality is that's the way you speak when you're speaking opinion. Because people who speak absolute truth and they know that truth, they speak it as absolute truth. There's no, well, I think that it could be like this. You know, you see some of the speakers that are speaking on some of the issues that are coming up in the world today. And we don't want to engage in that, but just the aspect for understanding that, where somebody will ask them a question thinking that they're going to trap them, and they come back with solid, factual, biological truth that, and it's not, well, we think that this is this way and it's that. No, they speak, when they know, they speak it that way. And so be very leery of people who speak with, well, I think that when Jesus came, he did this for this reason. And even if it's true, they don't know it's true because it's opinion based, because it's what you think. It's not what you know. And that's one of the things, you know, that Yah had given us. When we speak what you know and know what you speak, meaning that spend less time giving your opinion about something and give the truth, and make sure that when you give that truth, that it is truth. And if by some chance that we catch ourselves that we spoke something, we will make a correction and go back. I'm okay with being misspeaking at times, because I am still human. But when I recognize it, no, I'm going to get out there, and anybody I spoke it to, I'm going to let them know that, you know, that was opinion. It wasn't truth. But that's our goal, is to make sure that what we're speaking is true, because I know the severity. I understand the severity of what I'm going to have to answer for in what I teach, and therefore I take it very, very, very seriously, the things that I speak about when it comes to professing absolute truth about God, because we will be held accountable to God. But the beauty part is having Mother in your heart, that there are times, we've had times where we will speak something that we didn't know before because Mother's doing the speaking, and we're learning it, and it's making perfect sense, and it's fitting in exactly with what's being said. And so we can learn from that perspective as well. So Mother, sometimes she'll take over, and it's our voice, but she's the one speaking. And we just want to make, make it clear that the key to all of this is seeking God with all of your heart. No question.
The people marveled at Yeshua and the authority at which he spoke, and the authority was of Yah. That it mentioned that he didn't speak as the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they were going on what they thought they knew. And the people could see by their behavior that it didn't line up with their words and Messiah. They could clearly see that he was walking the old term. He was talking the talk and walking the walk. I remember it came to mind. It said that when he went in the synagogue, that he read out of Isaiah, and he said, in the reading of this passage of Isaiah, the scripture is fulfilled. And I just want to show you and prove to you that I'm the Son, because do you see here? And then the scripture, and that, no, by this reading, it's fulfilled. And the people were just, what do you mean the scripture's fulfilled? Are you calling yourself, were you before Abraham? Before Abraham was, I am. Well, no, you need to understand that I'm God, and here's the reason why. And, well, what do you mean you're God? I've already told you who I am. Who do you, and it just made me think of the authority, because he knows, and the people know that he knows, because he spoke with the position that he was in, that I know what I'm talking about, and I'm going to speak this truth and just leave it alone. I don't need to sit there and justify it and defend it and all this other stuff. And just to evaluate, are we speaking as Messiah would speak? You know, people that claim that you have this faith, or where you go, are people speaking with authority? Or, well, maybe with authority means is that matter of fact, direct, that go and sin no more. Well, you know what? You shouldn't. It just means that you just speak the truth boldly, which is, this is what it is. And you just said this earlier, you can put whatever opinion or spin you want on it, that without a male and a female, you cannot produce a child. It doesn't matter. You can. There's two women or two men. Well, you see, we have a child, but there's a male part in it. Even if the physical male person isn't there, it doesn't matter. There's a male involved. And again, like you said, we're not on a platform to do what the world does or speak the things that are going on in the world. But this is one of those where the truth of God is not going to change. You cannot change what God has put in place. And you just find yourself fighting against God. And that's why it's so much harder, is that when you fight against the natural things that are true, you're just going to find yourself fighting against God. And that's a place you don't want to be. And, you know, people that are listening to this, like we said before, if you don't agree with it, even Messiah said that, you know, the people that don't believe in the Son, which is Yeshua, you're condemned already. So we don't need to go around condemning people or saying you're going to go here or there. That the Son himself has already said you stand in a place of condemnation if you don't find the fullness of faith anyway. So that's already done. You're already there. So we're just here to say, look, before it's too late, seek with all your heart, find the place to find repentance, obedience, and trust in Yah, and you'll find what we have here. And the world is going to keep doing what the world does. And we're not here. We're not concerned about what the world does. We're concerned about those that are seeking true faith in Yah, what they do, speaking to those people, because we already know from the word that Yah is going to judge those that are not a part of the church anyway. So we're not going to go in Yah's position and judge those people. Just leave them alone.
Yeah. And really, I mean, my hope is that Cookie, who wrote that, that question, did you say mother? The hope is that she'll go back and listen to this from the beginning. But more than that, that she would actually take and evaluate the realities that we've talked about, that in order to have a son, there has to be a mother and father. Otherwise, there's no need to, if he's just a male being, there's no need to put it to an aspect of a son. It's put to an aspect of son because we know that he was conceived and then placed in Mary and then born into this life so that we could relate to him. So it's just huge and important that people evaluate. But the problem is, okay, and we've talked about this before, the psychology of the mind is so in-depth that people have no idea how deep it runs, and it's a cognitive dissonance that's keeping them from accepting things like that God actually speaks to people, and that the Spirit of God is female, the mother of Messiah. It's that cognitive dissonance that kicks in and says, nope, that's wrong. That's wrong. It can't be right. And the shame is that they don't know it. They don't see it. The deception, the lie that many are believing, they don't see the lie. I don't really understand why they're not looking for it, because those words came out of Messiah's mouth, that many are going to believe the lie and be condemned. But it's just, people have to recognize that, stop leaning on your own understanding until you stop leaning on your own understanding. It is an impossibility for you to know the things of God, accept the things of God, and walk in the things of God. It's fact, because the cognitive dissonance sets in because you think you know, because people have brainwashed you your whole life into the fact that the Spirit of God is a He. And if you profess that the Spirit of God is a He, you prove that you do not have a relationship with God. You know, it's mother's the precious bride of Abba. And even the Song of Solomon was written as a back and forth between Abba and Ema, between the husband and the beloved. And it gets set aside. Why? Because for years and years, somewhere along the way, it got changed to where the cognitive dissonance that's in, because people have been programmed. It's just like the programming of, well, I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and I can't lose it. And well, they're convinced in their mind, but if you tell them that they're not safe, then they'll start to get a rise and they'll start to try to figure out how they're going to explain it. Yes, I am. And it's because of this and this. Because when you're truly safe in the arms of God, you don't have to preserve your life. You know your life is preserved in the hand of God. And therefore, you don't have to give an answer for it. You don't have to prove anything. It's like, I don't have to prove to anything that the Spirit of God is female, because I guarantee you that at the white throne judgment, everybody's going to see. Everybody's going to see Abba, Ima, and Yeshua. That's a fact. And so whether they believe it now or not, it's up to them. But just because you don't believe something doesn't mean that it's not true. And this, again, the whole aspect of psychology of the mind is huge, because people have they don't even have a close idea of how deep their psychological issues go because of the programming that they've had over the years that they've been alive. And the only way, you had said this earlier, the only way for you to figure it out is for you to take everything and set it on a shelf, put it off to the side, and then start picking through it one piece at a time. You know, is this true? Does it match up with the Word of God? You know, well, the Spirit is a he, but the Word of God says she, wisdom was with him at his side, at the creation. And, you know, wisdom calls out from the street corner, she is more beautiful. So why would the Bible say she if there is no she? Because remember, that's in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament was would have been Hebrew writing. And in the Hebrew, they have gender-specific terminology and words. And the Ruach HaKodesh is the feminine, which is the Spirit of God, the breath of God. But people will argue that and fight it, but you'll find yourself fighting against God, fighting against logic and sensibility, because somebody has told you wrong your whole life. And I promise you, if you raise a kid in this world and you teach them every time they see an orange color and you say, that's blue, that's blue, every single time, when they get to be older, you put what you know to be orange in front of them and it will be blue. Why? Because they've been programmed from that perspective. And we've all been programmed from that perspective. The unfortunate thing is we don't know the programming that we've had. So it's really important, especially with aspects of God. If you can't explain aspects of God, but you claim you have a relationship with God, it's a problem. That's a red flag. If you say you have a relationship with God, but you truly don't hear their voice speaking to you, there's a problem. Another red flag. Because, again, look at it in your life. Would you be okay with somebody saying they have a relationship with you when all they do when they're around you is they just talk, they never let you get a word in edgewise, and then when they're done talking, then they go on about their business and don't stop and wait for you to answer. And they just kind of leave you there with, you're like, well, I had stuff to say. Well, that's not a relationship. And so just drawing back to the original question, the things that we've spoken about are how we know. And We know. And we know because God has taught us about cognitive dissonance. And since they've taught us about cognitive dissonance, and we've seen how we act in cognitive dissonance, then we say, no, I'm not going to let the programming rule me. I'm going to let the truth of God be my reprogramming so that I can walk and live appropriately. And we will pull truths from every other religion when we see them. When Mother says, you know, here with the Muslim, they've got a great aspect of zeal for God. You know, how many people who claim faith in God are taking three times a day and bowing down to God to worship them? That's a good mindset and a concept that they have. Unfortunately, what they lack is they see God as a terror, and that's all they see God as. And so they don't get to see God as a friend because they haven't been in a place where they can make that transformation by believing in Messiah to then have that transformation from him being a terror to being a friend. But just because other religions don't see God as a terrorist or a terror, they do. And I'd seen a little snippet of a guy who's got a podcast, and he used to be in the mafia. And he was a mob boss, and he's not in it anymore. But he's falling in within the Christian lines. And something I would like to, you know, I'm not going to trace him or track him down, but something I'd like to say would be, you ever stop and think that you're seeing this God now as a soft God who, you know, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and everything's love? And do you understand that God operates like the mafia? I mean, you dig into it and you look. The only difference is, or one of the major differences, is that the mafia is a criminal organization where Yah is a righteous organization. But set the criminal and the righteous stuff aside and then take selfishness and set it aside. It's like God is the Godfather and his concern is the family. And anybody who crosses the family is going to be dealt with and taken care of. And I mean, it's just another thing from the world that shows, but we live in a soft God society where people want to soften God to where, well, God is just love, this warm teddy bear that we just hug on and he'll give us what we want. And no, God operates in similar fashion to the mafia. And if you purposely cross them, there's going to be a penalty, but you're going to be treated good if they're your friend. And of course, obviously, God would do it better and to a greater degree of the reality of truth. But just seeing things like that, because I was thinking about it after he was talking, I was like, wow, that's God. You know, they're a terror because the people who are close-knit in that family, now they respect the boss, but they're not necessarily terrified of him unless they've done something that they know is wrong, and then they have reason to be terrified. But other than that, they're in the good graces. They're doing the things that are supposed to be done. And just so even from things like the mafia, how you can pull and see the truth of God. And this is how we know that what we're following is the way of Messiah, because it's finding truth no matter where it is and holding on to it and getting rid of the rest of it.
Well, that's what I was thinking about, was Yeshua himself. That's why he was able to be calm and composed, because his mindset was the truth of it all, because he's mentioned as the way. So if you have, like we've said this, an open mind, which means an open mind doesn't mean you agree with everybody else. It just means I'm willing to listen to you and evaluate what you say. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to discern and pick the truth out. And because if I'm not going to argue with you, but if I keep it up, like I just thought about this, the people that would claim to be Jewish, which we know from the word that someone is a Jew inwardly by circumcision of the heart, but there's people that are Jews outwardly. And that, well, that's the Hebrews, that's for them. But no, the book of Hebrews is for the Jew inwardly, the Israel of God, because it says not all Israel, which is the Israel of God, is of Israel. But you think about it, that you'll look at some groups of people that claim to be Jewish, that they'll live by the letter of the law to make sure everything is kosher and everything is separate. Well, you're going to go to that depth to keep the law of God and make sure everything is separate to clean and unclean. Well, that's a good mindset to have. Just don't take it to the extreme side where you're trying to be absolutely perfected in it. But think about that, that are you looking at stuff as clean and unclean to the point where you'll separate refrigerators and foods to where they don't even touch each other? I mean, what a great way spiritually. Don't be spotted by the world, you know, be in the world, but not of the world. But I wanted to add this about the mafia, because I've seen some quote mob movies, and I just had the movie Goodfellas come to mind. And I remember a specific scene where they were friends to the one guy that came in, and they're like, hey, get your mind right. You need to go back to your wife. Just relax, take it easy. But then, hey, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? You know, you can't do this in public. We're going to go. And they would deal with them harshly. And then, hey, get your act together. But then other times they would be a friend. But the guy, Paulie, that was like the big main guy, it was like, nobody touches Paulie. You're not... You know, he had that demeanor of like that terror that, look, I'm telling you, and he was talking to one of the guys face to face, and look, I'm telling you, don't do this stuff. If you do it, you're going to have to answer to me. And it's like, okay, listen, I'm not going to jail. I'm not, but then, all right, is that clear? Okay, now we'll figure it out. And, but that is by mother, that's a wonderful example of them, because what's referred to as a made man, you have to be of the blood of Italian blood. Well, how are you made? How are you a made man or woman in faith, circumcision of the heart, that once you're in the family, what happens to those that want to get out of it? Oh, you're not getting out of this. You're in. You're going to, after we've let you in by blood and now you're turning your back, then you're just looking over your shoulder. It's just terror and fire. The rest, oh, you want to leave? Go ahead. No, that once you've tasted this and you've lived this life and now you want to reject it? Oh, no, that's not happening. You're cut off immediately. Or you're put to death, you know, stuff like that, that happens. But, and there's other examples, but that is a very good one.
Yeah. And we're going to wind down for this morning on this Saturday morning, just bright and cheery day. We're grateful for those that listened in. And if you didn't get to listen to the whole thing, I would go back and listen again. Just to be able to hear the lead up to wherever it was that you came in. And I would say to Cookie, seek God with all of your heart. And your question, did you say mother, will be answered by Yah in a true perspective from Yah, in a relationship with Yah. As long as you're seeking Him with all of your heart and you want to know the truth about them. Because that is a fact that cannot be denied, especially with the fact that we are created in their image. And then the scripture specifically says, in the image of God, they created them, male and female. So there has to be a female aspect of God. And again, that female aspect of God is the precious mother. And why is it not easy for people to accept? Because you have to go through the father first, the terrorist, then you have to go through the son who teaches you how to obey the father in that family. And then you crucify yourself with Christ. Now you have the blood of that family. You're a made man or made woman in that aspect. But just simple things like that we can pull truth out of, without, because many people would be like, God is not like the mafia. You guys are crazy, because this is just insane. That, and it's like, if you read the Old Testament and the New Testament and listen to the writers of both and what they say about it, yeah, that's exactly what God is, except God's not doing it from a selfish perspective of self-gain and self-power. God's doing it because it's best for everybody, because they are love and they do what's best for everybody. And sometimes what's best for everybody is you better get your act right, because if you don't, you're going to end up dead. But you get into that blood family and then turn your back on that family, you're put to death. In, you know, the mafia, they're not playing around. You're going to die. They're going to find you and you're going to die. If you by some chance escape that, then you're one of few lucky ones. But the reality with God is you turn your back on the blood of Messiah once you've been made in God, there's nothing left for you but a fearful expectation of fire and judgment, period, end of it. And that's exactly a concept of the way the mafia family operates. And again, I've never been a part of mafia family. I've only heard about people talking about it, well, other than God. But the objective goal with God is righteousness and living right, living an example so others will want to follow that same example. Sean, do you have anything else before we wind up?
Seek for God and you will find Yah when you seek with all your heart. And just awesome revelation by Mother and information. And hope everybody has a good day. And just a reminder that we have a Facebook page, Hidden Treasures Revealed. And we also have an email, which is hiddentreasuresrevealed@AOL.com. We'd like to hear your comments, questions, and you never know, a question or comment just like this one could be a part of a future podcast.
And we will be back again on Tuesday evening at 7:30, ready to speak about whatever it is Mother has in mind.
By the will of Yah.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Treasures Revealed. We want to leave you with this thought. The greatest treasure in life, and especially in faith, is discovery. If we try to convince you of things, you may gain head knowledge, but if we let you discover things, you will have heart knowledge to know and understand and be able to give a good answer for the faith that you have. Treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. Seek the treasure of God through conversation with them and through their word. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek the hidden treasure of God, and you will be blessed by it.